Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning. So I love this time tomorrow. Just hearing people's stories, and I think it's such a good thing to hear what people get up to, because I'm nosy and I like hearing that. But we all have a purpose, and your purpose isn't just what we do at the front, you know, in church. It's what God has put us on the planet to do, and it's great to hear Jim this morning, just his enthusiasm for the job. But I'm always amazed as well, and I don't know if it's just me, that there's an actual song this time tomorrow. Like, that's like incredible, because Dina said, oh, I'm going to do this little feature in church, and, you know, it's going to be called This Time Tomorrow. And there's a song, like, This Time Tomorrow. It makes me think of Homes Under the Hammer. Someone's job on any Homes Under the Hammer fans? Okay, we've got a few people who don't work. No. But Homes Under the Hammer, someone's job is just to find songs that go with what they're talking about, and it's incredible. I see a few blank faces, so you don't know, get it, but like they have a song for every eventuality. They could be talking about some house, and suddenly they've got a song that goes behind it. Anyway, This Time Tomorrow. This morning, it was supposed to be Russ preaching, continuing the Stand series, but he's not well, and so we pray that Russ will get better soon. So I'm taking a little detour this morning. It's a little bit different from the Stand series, but not totally different. So I want to share some thoughts this morning on Psalm 27. So if you have a Bible and you can turn to that, Psalm 27. And I'm going to read this and we'll pray and then we'll have a look at it together. This is what it says, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you because it is your word to us. Through it, we receive revelation, we can understand more of you and your ways. And as we spend a few moments looking at this psalm, we pray, Father God, that you will speak to us through it. We pray, God, that you will encourage us and stir our hearts, that we may know you in a greater way, that we may know you in a deeper way. So we pray, Father God, speak to us. Jesus, come and minister to us. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment that you will come and do the work that you need to in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there's a few things that are going on in this psalm. David, it's a psalm written by David. The Psalms, for people who are maybe new to reading the Bible, is a collection of different poems and songs. A lot of them written by David, or certainly ascribed to David, whether he literally penned every single one, I'm not sure, but they're ascribed to him. But there are other people as well. But this is one where David is writing about a situation in his life. And I think, you know, although this is a slight step out from the Stand series, this is about someone, this is a prayer of someone who is trying to stand in the midst of difficulty. And what he's praying on as he's pouring out his heart is that he's talking about the fact that enemies are against him, that things are coming against him. And for us, and David was a king, he was the king of Israel, so he would have been used to leading armies, and maybe he's literally thinking about that kind of experience, that he's going, there are enemies that are attacking us, people want to come and take over our land. But maybe the language is more metaphorical, and that's probably how we should take it. That he's saying that it's like people are surrounding me, that enemies are coming against me. And it may be that for people here this morning, we have that sort of experience, that we might not feel that literally people are after us. I hope that's not the case anyway. But we can be going through things in our life where metaphorically, it feels like everything is against us. That things are coming against us, and we want to be able to stand. And so David prays, and he's pouring out his heart, and these things are coming from his life. And there's a few things that come out in this psalm. He's talking about having confidence in God. He's talking about sheltering in God. He's talking about waiting for God. And all of those things, in one sense, seem quite passive. And as Russ was talking about last week, we don't always like that. As Pentecostals, charismatic types, we like to have the shout. We like to have the action. We like to have all of the things going on. You know, we're going to be victorious, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. But the things that David prays in this psalm are all quite passive, or that he talks about. I have confidence in you. I want to shelter in who you are and seek you. And I wait for God. And even though they might seem quite passive, there are very important things for us to do that we need to take hold of, not in the passive, oh, we just sit here and, oh, yes, God, I've got confidence in you. But there's something we can do in that gives us strength to carry on, strength to stand. So the first thing is he says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. The first thing I want to talk about from this psalm is that David says that he has confidence in who God is. And we, as the people of God here today, when we are coming against adversity, when we have things that we maybe feel like we can't carry on, we can say, God, I have confidence in you. Not in our own strength, but in who God is. Do we trust that the God that we talk about, the God that we believe in, that we come and we sing about and we hear about, that actually it's something that we, although I've been saying it seems passive, it's an active thing to do, to say, God, when there's nothing else that I can seem to do, I'm saying this, God, I have confidence in who you are. God, I am confident that you are able to bring me through this situation. And we can put confidence in all sorts of things, but as the people of God, as Christians, as believers, we're people who say, God, I'm putting my trust in you. Just down the road, I don't know if anyone's seen, which way am I going now? That way, I think. Down on Ashby Road, and I know people may have different feelings about this, but just opposite Central Park, they're building a new co-op and Starbucks, I think. I think that's the things that are going on. And As I've been walking past, I walk the dog usually up that road each day, and I'm amazed at how quickly it is going up. The buildings, you know, it's been erected, the framework, and the bricks are going on, roofs going on. So it's happening fast. Before they started the building, though, you need to get the foundations right. You need to have the right foundation. And here's the thing. Like, it's not the most amazing, exciting thing to think about, the foundations. Yay, the foundations. What we're more concerned about is the building that's going on top. But regardless of what building is going on top, no matter what you're putting up, the foundations need to be right first. And before we do anything, you know, before the building is erected, the foundations need to be put in place. And the same, I mean, please, you know, like I can barely do any DIY myself. I've shared all of these journeys with you and my struggles and hardships, okay, so about DIY. So I don't know anything really about laying foundations, but I'm pretty sure that the same principles apply no matter what you're doing, i.e. they need to be solid. Like, it needs to be able to stand, that it needs to be able to bear weight. And I'm sure that there's some maths that goes into that around, and structural engineering, you know, you need this to work. So it's not always like, we're going to do a brand new thing here, but actually it's the same principles, same foundation, then we can build on top of it. Sometimes we get caught up in what we're building, and we're trying to do the thing that looks good for God, be that in our own life or be that corporately as a church. That building can look different, you know, metaphorically. Things can change, but the foundation has to be there. And our foundation, I know this is all simple stuff. I know that this can, you know, it's the stuff we hear, but we can so easily forget our foundation is God. Our foundation is Jesus and the truth of who he is. What are we building our lives on? Where are we placing our confidence today? Who are we putting our trust in? And it goes on because it says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. And very often, I think we can be kind of flippant with some of these things when we're talking about, you know, just have faith. Don't be afraid, just have faith. But we know it's not that simple, is it? You know, just don't be afraid. Jesus talks about not fearing. You know, we trust him. But even though it's not that simple, it's something that we want to continually put into practice. And part of the way of building confidence in God is to start trusting him in different things. And as we do it in one thing, we can have confidence. God, as you came through for me there, as I saw you work in this, so too will I see that you can have confidence in this bigger thing, and this next thing, and this next thing. And we can get caught up in looking at the lives of people who have done what we deem, you know, they've done so many great exploits. They've done great things for God. They've done all these wonderful things in Jesus' name. But it will have always started with trust and confidence in the small thing first. Because you don't go from here, you don't go from nothing to everything. It has to build. And in our journey of faith, I wonder, are we continuing to exercise our faith? And our confidence, God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything, but I'm putting my trust in you in this. Then we face something else that's actually more difficult, that seems like a more difficult situation, but God, I'm trusting you. And as we do that, we continue to grow in our confidence in who he is. And because of that, we trust. I'm going to see you come through in this situation. So the first thing David is talking about is confidence. Confidence in who God is. Because I've seen you work here, God, I trust that you are going to work in this situation. And I wonder this morning, maybe there's people who just need to exercise some confidence in God. We can look at all that's going around us, but we need to confess and affirm again, God, you are my rock. You are the foundation of my life, and I'm trusting in that above all. And he says that God is able to rescue. God is able to deliver. And the most important thing that we need to recognize is that Jesus came and rescued us from the ultimate enemies of sin and death. When the Bible talks about the way that what Jesus has done for us, it's saying that he brought us from darkness into light. And this is what the Psalms talk about. God, you are my light and my salvation. Jesus is the one who purchased our salvation at the cross. And he won that victory over the ultimate enemy, sin and death. That is where our salvation starts. When we move from that place of being bound in those things, bound in darkness, to coming into the light of God's truth. And maybe if you're here today and you've never made that first decision, that first step to say, Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you, then today you can, and we'll have time to pray for that at the end. The next thing then that David goes on to say is he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. In the tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. There's a phone call that I usually dread getting. I mean, there's going to be all sorts of phone calls that you might dread getting in your life, but the one I usually dread getting is the one when, sorry, babe, to pick on you, but it's the one when Dina calls me. Hang on. There's an end to the sentence. This is what happens when I try to tell a story in our house. Dina jumps in with the end. It's like, no, there's more. Not whenever you call me, when you call me with tech issues, okay? So what will usually happen, because like I don't mind solving tech problems, but I don't know, I guess some people, you are the techie and the techer, I don't know how we would, but you're the one calling for tech solutions, so you're on that side of things. But if anyone is like me and is on the end where you have to give the advice, you might know what it's like to try and tell somebody what to do to solve their tech issue, yes? Like, how long have we been on Zoom now? Like, 3 years, and COVID's still around. Zoom, right? How do I share screen? You're not quite this bad, but I do. But how do I share screen? We've been doing it for ages, but usually it's a call like, I can't get this on the TV. I'm plugging my laptop in, it's not working. You know, how do I do this? And I'm having to go through all the things. Have you changed the source? Have you got your settings? Go to your display settings. Where do I find that? You have to click this button, and then you have to go there, and then you have to extend desktop. It goes on and on and on and on. Some of you are like, yes, exactly. That's why I get someone else to do it. So it's the tech conversation. At work, it's even worse. We use something called Google Drive at work. It's not Google Drive's fault, but the idea is that we all share with each other. Like, so we have this shared drive. But every day I get a call. I can't find it. Well, what do you think I do? I just search for the file. But no, but it's not labeled right. It's not, sorry, I'm just pouring out my heart here. Glenn and Lily, if you're listening, because it's usually them calling me. I'm like, it's on the drive. I just put it in the chat sometimes. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but it's on the Google Drive. Like, it's there. Like, we all have our go-to people, all right? Like, Dina, I'm the go-to for tech. If we've often talked about, I don't know if Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is still going, but like if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, my dad would be my go-to for phone a friend, because he just seems to know stuff about everything. I don't know how, but it's like, that's the one I would go to. You know, I've talked about DIY, Graham's my man, he's the one I go to. And so, like, we all got people that we go to, but listen, our ultimate, the place where we need to shelter the most, the one that we need to go to is God. And although sheltering can, again, sound like a passive thing, it's an active thing to say, God, I'm sheltering in you. This is all going on around me, but I'm going to shelter in who you are. And again, coming back to what Russ was talking about last week, you know, we don't like this love talk or this sheltering talk, you know, like, oh, I want to seek your face. Hey, listen, that's where the strength comes from. That we run to who God is. We run to the Father, because it's when we go to him that we find some strength to carry on and to keep going. When he talks about being in the house of the Lord, it's not just talking about being in church, but it's about seeking God, who God is. And for them, going to the temple was the place where they sought God. Here's the great thing. We don't need to come to a building. It's great that we are here together. Absolutely. Being together as Christians is important, vitally important for us. But it's talking about dwelling in God's presence. We might not always be able to do something, but we can always dwell in the presence of God. We can always go to him, which is exactly what June was talking about. We don't need to come to church and let me just pray about my job. We can pray on the way to work. We can pray in these places. And I love that. The ambulance can become a sacred place. Where you go can become sacred because you are carrying the presence of God into that place. So we trust in God's strength. We don't like to admit our own weakness. But there can be something powerful that starts when we realize, God, I'm running to you. I'm dwelling in your presence. And here's the great thing, I'm going to sing. I love that. I'm going to sing. A sacrifice with shouts of joy, I will sing and make music to the Lord. We sing in the midst of trouble. We might be in the valley, but we sing. And like the confidence that grows as we go from one thing to another, as in something tests our faith and stretches us there, but we come through and we say, God, you've done this. And so now I can speak out. Sometimes, again, maybe the thing that we just need to do is, oh God, I'm going to keep confessing your goodness. I'm going to keep confessing who you are. I'm going to keep speaking out what is truth. And that's why coming together as believers is so important, because we reaffirm this is what we believe in. This is what we stand for. This is who God is. So we dwell and we seek God's presence. And then he goes on. So I will sing and make music to the Lord. Then there's a little bit more where he's talking about seeking God, looking for God. And then finally he wraps up with, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Last week when Russ was talking about standing, it's not always a thing that, you know, because we want to keep going marching, we want to be running, we want to be doing, we want to be active. And waiting is just like that. You know, in the midst of all that he's been praying about and talking about, you would think that it's like, and yes, I'm going to have the victory. And yes, God's going to do this. But it's just, I'll wait for the Lord. I will wait. I'm confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait. We don't always like waiting, do we? There's a couple of things, you know. We can wait because we're, you know, procrastinating. You know, we're waiting for the right moment, the right opportunity to come along. When all the things align, then I'll get started. So it's kind of waiting because we're pushing something down the road. Or we're just waiting because we have to. You know, I don't know why I was thinking about this the other day, but like when I was growing up and we used to have to wait, like, and for something to be delivered, and it was, you know, please allow 28 days for delivery. Anyone remember that? 28 days for delivery. It's like now, you know, I've been waiting 28 minutes and Amazon haven't got it to me, you know. Like, complaint, 1 star, wasn't here quick enough. 28 days, kids, do you understand? That's right. Like, this is how, you know, when you start feeling a bit older, it's like, that's how long we had to wait, because we had to send it off and then the thing would come. We don't like waiting. Some of us put things off. Some of us are just impatient. We don't like to wait. And waiting can sound like a non-faith statement. Because I'm waiting. I'm waiting for God to come through. Because we can be overly triumphalistic in our language. And I hear this sort of sentiment all the time. So stuff I know that is great for preaching and great for sermons. Come on, we've got the victory and I'm going to take the land for Jesus and all of that. And I find it kind of off-putting, to be honest. But or we can be a bit defeatist. Like, we didn't used to sing it particularly, but there is a song like, "Great is the darkness that covers the earth." I think it ends on a bit of a high, but, you know, it's not the most joyful thing. "Great is the darkness, yes, Lord." No, hang on a minute, what are we singing? But people can be like that, like, oh, it's terrible, people don't know God, da, 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 da. And then we go in this downward spiral of our talk about how bleak things are. So we either have that extreme or we have the extreme of, you know, the opposite extreme of, you know, I'm just going to confess that things are great when they're not. Sometimes we just need to be people who actively wait. Not passively, oh God, I hope something will happen. We actively wait. What does that look like? We keep doing the right things. I'm a big believer in the fact that sometimes all we do, or we need to do perhaps, is just keep doing the right things consistently. I'll keep praying. I'll keep reading the Bible. I'll keep going to church. I'll keep meeting with believers. I'll keep serving. Whatever that might be and look like for you, I keep doing the right thing. And in that, I'm confident I will see the goodness of God. Because amazing things happen, would you believe, when we keep doing the right things. We don't always know it. We don't always realize it at the time. But I think we sometimes overdo, not here, but I've seen it happen in other contexts, but we overdo the breakthrough language. We don't always need a breakthrough. We just need to keep doing the right things. Just need to keep taking a step in the right direction. And that encourages us, and that helps us to keep going. I'm confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I trust that God is who he says he is, and he will come through in his time. But in the meantime, I know that God will sustain me, that God will continue to do the work that he needs to in my life. I just wonder if we could bow our heads. And we are going to pray if the band want to come up. And let's take a moment to just think about this psalm, or maybe something we need to take away. And in a moment, we're going to sing. I think we're doing the song "Run to the Father." And it may be that you need to respond today. There's people here who can pray for you, people who can stand alongside you. And you need to run to God's presence today, in the sense of, I'm coming to you, God. I don't understand what is happening around. I don't get this situation, but I'm coming to you, Father God. Father, I pray for each and every one of us here. I pray, Father, for those who are online as well. God, whoever is hearing this message, and hearing the words of this psalm. We thank you, God, that you are a firm foundation. Jesus, you are our salvation. We put our trust in you. We make it our prayer and our declaration that we want to seek you all the days of our life. And we have confidence that you will do what you need to do in us and through us. And today, if you're here and you need to make that step for the first time to say, Jesus, I put my trust in you. God, I give my life to you. I've been trying to do it in my own strength and in my own way. But God, I want to put my life in your hands. I want to build my life on the foundation of you. Then you can make that decision. You can take that step today. And before you leave, before you go from here, talk to someone you came with. There's be people at the back, either at the new here or need to talk, and they'll be happy to talk more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But God, Father God, we commit all of this to you. Will you, in our weakness, be our strength? That when we feel we haven't got much else, God, we trust in who you are. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk. Or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.